Good morning. Today's daf in Gittin is Nun Dal. We're in Nun Gimel on the base. We are starting towards the bottom of the Amud. We got involved in a classic discussion here in the fifth paragraph of the Masechta. Hezek Sheino Nikar. What happens when I damage, but the damage that I does not physically visible. There is no physical evidence that I did the damage, but it's all halachic. Okay, so I admit that the precise definition of Hezek Sheino Nikar does require a little bit of work. But in the meantime, however, I'm just saying it over simply so that we can see it nice and easy. And that is that when the damage that I'm doing is not a physical damage, but rather it's halachic damage. So let's say, for example, Cohen has Truma, I go over there, and I touch it, and I make a tame. There's no physical evidence that I damaged it. It's all halachic. And yet, he can't eat his Truma now that I touched it. So am I going to be liable? Is there going to be financial liability for such damages? Min ha-Torah? So that is a good question. Not only is it a good question, it's a machlokas. The Mishnah taught us back on Nun Beis Amud Beis that if you are involved in Hezek Sheino Nikar, so it depends whether you were a shogeg or you were a mazik. By shogeg, you're going to be putter. By mazik, you're going to be chayev. Okay, so that's what we learned and over the course of yesterday's daf and Nun Gimel. So we went over a fundamental machlokas between Chizki and Rav Yochanan, whether min ha-Torah, Hezek Sheino Nikar is considered Hezek or it's not considered Hezek. And then that will inform us in terms of what is the Tikkun Olam. So let's say, for example, the Hezek Sheino Nikar is in fact considered Hezek Min HaTorah. So what's the Tikkun Olam? The Shogeg. The fact that you don't have to pay by Shogeg. Why wouldn't you have to pay by Shogeg? So the Gemara gave us Svara because we want the person to admit. Alternatively, Hezek Sheino Nikar Min HaTorah is not considered Hezek. And then what's the Tikkun Olam? Tikkun Olam is that if you do a B'mezid, you're going to have to pay. And why do you have to pay B'mezid? The answer is quite simple. The Chachamim didn't want people to behave like this to one another, where they're going to intentionally go ahead and halachically damage other people's foods or other people's properties, period. Okay. What the Gemara suggested yesterday is that this is a machlokis, not only between Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan, it's a machlokis Tanaim. So Lema Kitanaim. So that was what the Gemara suggested yesterday on Nun Gimel Amud Beis, that it's not just a machlokas amoraim, but rather machlokas amongst the Tanaim. And the Gemara says, nah, that's not the machlokas. In other words, the Gemara brought down a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. The case under review was being metame, was being medame, menasech, all the classic examples that we gave in the Mishnah. And according to Rabbi Meir, echad shogeg vechad mezid chayev. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're only going to be chayev b'mezid, but not for shogeg. And the Gemara says, no, they're not arguing about the fundamental nature of Hezek Sheino Nikar, but rather, and everyone's of the position that Hezek Sheino Nikar is not considered Hezek, min ha-Torah. Over here, it's just a question of how far do the Chachamim or Gozer? Chachamim Gozer only in the case of mezid, or are the Chachamim going to be Gozer in the case of Shogeg atu mezid. Meaning it's just a question of to what degree the Chachamim are going to be gozer. Okay. And then, as it is right now, in the front part of today's daf, just as a basic introduction, I just dropped a lot of information, and I admit it's a lot to process. There's a lot going on. And then what the Gemara did is the Gemara brought in the brisa regarding Mevash B'Shabbos, where Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda seems to be taking exact polar opposite positions, but the Gemara says that, but that brisa could be different. And the Gemara was mechalik in more than one different way in terms of how that brisa could be separate and different from what we're discussing. So, that brings us to where we left off yesterday, on Nun Gimel Amud Beis, and we are towards the bottom of the Amud. Rami de Rav Meir, de Rav Meir bid de Araisa. Okay, so now what we're going to notice is the stira between Rav Meir and Rav Meir. Okay, so where do we have? We had Rav Meir in the case of Mevashel B'Shabbos, where Rav Meir says that we're not going to go there. Shogeg to mezid. A Mevashel B'Shabbos b'shogeg according to Rav Meir, so you're allowed to eat it. And the Gemara now notes a discrepancy within the world of Rav Meir de Tanya. Okay, so here we go. And admittedly, again, there's a lot of positions, there's a lot of machloksim. And everything over here fits. It all works. It's just a question of all of us keeping it straight in terms of who holds what on what particular topic. And so there's just a lot. There's a lot going on. So, Rami de Rav Meir b'dar Raisa, de Tanya, notea b'Shabbos b'shogeg yikayim. So let's say you plant on Shabbos. and you did so b'shogeg, so you can keep it there. In other words, you don't have to rip it out. B'mezid yakor. However, if you do a b'mezid, so you have to uproot it. And now b'shvias b'shogeg b'mezid yakor divrei meir. Now, if it's if you plant during the Shemitah year, now obviously planting during the Shemitah year is also prohibited. In other words, you're not allowed to plant during the entire Shemitah year, right? That is a direct affront to the mitzvah of Shemitah. Shemitah means that we have to leave the land alone. And if you do so, whether it was b'shogeg or whether it was b'mezid, ya'akor. So you have to uproot it. That is all divrei Reb Meir. That's Shitas Reb Meir. Okay, so, and Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'shvi'ish b'shogeg kaim b'mezid ya'akor. And Rabbi Yehuda will tell you that, no, when it comes to Shemitah, so if you planted during the Shemitah year and you did so b'shogeg, you forgot it was the Shemitah year you planted, so you can keep it there. However, if you did it b'mezid, so then it has to be uprooted. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you planted on Shabbos, b'shogeg b'mezid ya'akor has to be uprooted, whether it was on b'shogeg or b'mezid. Now, it bothers us right now, this b'risa. There are more than one point of this b'risa that bothers us based on what we heard previously. But right now, the Gemara is just focused on Reb Meir. We're here in the b'risa, according to Reb Meir. So what just happened over here? That if you're noter b'shvias, which is an issur d'oraisa, okay, and I know that's something that we could adjust, because Shemitah b'zman hazeh de rabbanan. But let's assume right now that he's describing Shemitah on a d'oraisa level, and what do the Chachamim do? The Chachamim were kones. They penalize the person, not only in the case of Mezid, but even in the case of Shogeg as well. So we're looking at a din d'oraisa, and Reb Meir now is being kones, both Shogeg and Mezid. Okay. And if I were to say even better, he's kones both in the case of Mezid and in the case of Shogeg. Okay. Ta'amech. So tikshach higufa, michzi, ha'doraisa v'ha'doraisa. Maishan Shabbos and Maishan Shvius. But the Gemara already points out that if you just think about it for another moment, you realize, wait one second. We obviously don't have the full picture, because in the very same Brisa that we just quoted, so there's a stira within Reb Meir. On one hand, you're right, by Shemitah, so Reb Meir extends the Gzera. But in the very same Brisa, they talk about planting on Shabbos, and Reb Meir only limits the Gzera to a case of Mezid, not in the case of Shogeg. So all you have to do is just think about it for one more moment, and you realize we don't have the full picture. So the Gemara says that really what we have to say is as follows: the view expressed by planting on Shabbos really expresses the default position of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, when you violate and you do so b'shogeg, Rabbi Meir says excusable. In other words, excusable, meaning that's not accurate. Meaning the chachamim are not going to be gozer. That's accurate. So it was b'shogeg. You didn't do so intentionally, and so therefore you don't have to uproot it. If you're in Vash b'Shabbos, you can eat it. If you plant it on Shabbos b'shogeg, you can keep it there. And that really sets the default of Rabbi Meir. You know why Shemitah is going to be different? Shemitah is different. It's not the default. It is an outlier. But the reason why Shemitah is different is because, consider, you planted a tree during the Shemitah year. Now everyone is always going to be aware, present of when this tree was planted. So many halachas are going to be dependent on when this tree was planted. The halachas of Arla, the halachas of Netta Ravai. So we need to know when that tree is planted. So every single time we look at the tree, we're going to remind ourselves, do you know when that tree was planted? It was planted during the Shemitah year. You see, when you plant on Shabbos, so again, you did a b'shogeg, and there's not going to be a future reminder that that's what happened. But in the case of planting during the Shemitah year, there's going to be constant reminders. Therefore, Reb Meir says that in such a scenario, we're gonna go beyond the default. The default is that the Chachamim are only kones in the case of Mezid, not in the case of Shogeg. But by Shemitah, because of the constant reminder that we planted it during the Shemitah year, so therefore the Chachamim were kones both in Mezid and in Shogeg. So ve'ein monin l'shabbosos, and as we turn to the top of Nandal Manalef, but there is no minyan l'shabbos. Again, like I just got done explaining. So the Gemara says, Davar Acher, and the Gemara says, and also, Reb Meir says, and I want to add another point as well. Again, the default is where we are by cooking on Shabbos and by planting on Shabbos. That's the default. the Chachamim are only Koneis, Shogig, not Mezid. But when it comes to planting on Shemitah, so the Chachamim go beyond default. There goes there in Shogig and Mezid. We just gave one Svara why. And Rameir says, I want to give a second Svara. And generally speaking, when it comes to the Jewish people, so Jewish people are careful about Shabbos. Jewish people are not as careful when it comes to Shemitah. And so because of the general lack of consideration that the Jewish people have to Shemitah, so therefore the Chachamim have to be a little bit more aggressive in terms of the knas that they're going to levy. So my davar acher hachi kamar v'chitema. Now the Gemara says, okay, let's of course assume that this is correct, meaning this is Rameir explaining himself. So he feels that this is really true in terms of general attitudes to Shabbos versus Shemitah. Why did we need a second reason? The first reason seemed to be perfectly good. So the Gemara says, V'chitema Shabbos nami, zimnim demikla liyom yom shloshim b'Shabbos, diinata hu yom ahu desak alei shasa v'ilal osak alei shasa. So tashma davar acher, nechshudu Yisrael ashvias v'le nechshudu ashabasos. So the Gemara simply points out that the first argument of Rav Meir, you could poke a hole in that first argument. What was the first argument of Rav Meir? No one remembers that we planted on Shabbos. That's not always true. It's most of the time true, but it's not always true. There can be a circumstance in which people are going to remember that we planted on Shabbos. Why are people going to remember that years later? Because remember, how do we count a year? So a year is not going to have to be counted by a full year. A year could be counted by 30 days. Agriculturally, as long as it was planted 30 days prior to the upcoming year, so that already counts as year number one, vis-a-vis the halachas of Arla, etc., etc. So therefore, all I need to know is when Rosh Hashanah is. I need to mark now when 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah, and if it was planted on that day, that now will instruct us that it is that tree has already undergone a year. So if it comes out now that 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah fell on a Shabbos, so now we're marking the year based on the day it was planted. I admit it's not going to be that common an occurrence that 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah happens to fall on a Shabbos, and therefore that tree is going to be marked in terms of what year it was planted, but it could happen, okay? And therefore, that first argument of Rameir is no one's going to remember. It's not totally true. That's why Rabbi Meir needed a second explanation as well. Okay.
If it happens, what would he say? It was planted 31 days, not 30.
Okay.
That wouldn't make sense. What would he suspect him to plant on Shabbos? That's what I couldn't understand.
We're just drawing a case in which it happened. It happened that you planted 30 days before Shabbos, and because you did so, everyone now is going to remind themselves, oh, right, what year is that tree? Oh, that's right, Rosh Hashanah that year, 30 days. All right, whatever. Okay. Derav Yehuda, Derav Yehuda Lokasha. Now, as long as we're here explaining this brisa that we just learned together, so we just went through the Shita Rav Meir. Again, I know, it's just some, there's so much to remember that it takes a while. I'm speaking to myself. It takes a while to get everything clear and everything straight. We have now Rav Meir's position, which basically, the Rav Meir only limits the Kenas to Rabbanan to the case of Mezid, not Shogeg, but by Shemitah as an exceptional rule because of either the fact that we're not reminded, or we're constantly reminded that the tree was planted during Shemitah, alternatively, the general attitude of the Jewish people during Torah Shemitah. Okay, but in other words, but Shemitah is the outlier, but the default is for Rav Meir, the Gzerah, the Kenas is only on Mezid, not Shogeg. Now the Gemara says, let's do the same thing for Rabbi Yehuda. De Rabbi Yehuda Lokasha. Now, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, so if you're planting in Shemitah, so he says generally the default is that the Chachamim are going to make a Knas both on Shogeg and on Mezid. And again, I want to say it better. Both in Mezid and in Shogeg, right? Shogeg is the Chiddush. So the Chachamim are Konis in both. They penalize both. And then, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Shemitah becomes the exception, where the Gzera is only limited to Mezid, not to Shogeg. Now that requires an explanation. The Gemara is going to give us one right now. So, Rabbi Yehuda, Chamir Leishvias. So the Gemara says that where Rabbi Yehuda lived, so people were super careful about Shemitah. You know, it's funny. We just said, according to Rabbi Meir, people were relaxed about Shemitah. Yeah, but you know, where Rabbi Yehuda lives, they were super careful. And I know it only invites the question.
What's it talking about?
Huh?
What's it
I'm right. In other words, right. Why are we right? Why are we localizing people's attitudes based on where I live? Right. In other words, why don't we just take a look at the Jewish people as a whole and just simply say, okay, let's survey. How are the Jewish people doing during XYZ? And over here, it's right. I'm bothered by the same question as well. Over here, it seems to be that the Knas is all going to be a function of how the Jews behave in this particular area. Okay. Ben and I are alike in thought on this issue. Anyway, how do I know that we're Rabbi Yehuda live people are super careful? Gemara is going to give us, it's not a funny story, but it's for sure going to make us laugh, but it's not a funny story. So, Dahuda Amar Le Lechaveru Dayar Bar Dayarta. So there were two people who are having an exchange, and it was a heated debate. They weren't happy with each other. Don't know why. But anyway, so we resort to name calling. So one person says to another, Ger Ben Ger. Okay, you're the convert, the son of a convert. Right? Wanting to remind him that in other words, his pedigree is that he doesn't come from Jewish genealogy. Okay, that's, so Amar Le, so in response, he says, Ana lo achli perid shviya kavasech. At least I don't eat perid shviyas. Meaning, okay, fine. So I'm a ger, son of a ger, but at least I'm not eating perishvias like you're eating perishvias. And you see over here that of the slander that you could say to somebody, right? The worst thing that you could say to somebody is you eat perishvias. So you see that in the community of Rabbi Yehuda, like that is a barb. That's like right. That's a real insult. Okay. Anyway, it's a funny way to express how you know where Rabbi Yehuda lived. Like that's the worst if you're eating perishvias. Okay, v'havinambam. No, tashma. Okay, sorry. So we are now on Nun Dal Amud Aleph, and we are involved in the question of the extent that the Chachamim are going to make a gzera when somebody violates the Torah. In other words, and what kind of knas, what kind of penalty is going to be imposed when someone goes and violates Yisurim. And we are now making a distinction between Yisurim Daraisa versus Yisurim Darabanan. Even in Isuri Daraisa, distinctions are to be made like we just did in the Gemara. Between Shabbos versus Shemitah, we can make a distinction one direction. We just made the distinction in the other direction. Okay, so there's a lot of ways to carve this up. And Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, we have to now take another case into account. Achal Truma Temeah. So what happened is that you're not a Kohen and you ate Truma Temeah. Okay, so this is going to be a little bit complicated, I admit, in that you first of all, obviously, you have no entitlement to eat the truma altogether. The truma under discussion over here is not even tarts, it's tamei, and you ate it. Now, what do you have to do? You have to make compensation. So, mishalim chulim taharin. So what you have to do now is you have to compensate and you have to pay back in chulim taharin. Okay, even though you only ate truma tamei, you have to compensate in chulim taharin. Vishilim chulim tameim, mahu. So, but what if I don't pay in chulin taharin, but I pay rather in chulin tamein? So, amr sumchus mishum Rabbi Meir. So, b'shogig tashlumin tashlumin b'mezin ain't tashlumin tashlumin. So, according to Rabbi Meir, it depends. Did you do it b'shogig or did you do it b'mezin? Shogig meaning you were unaware that this is not the optimal way, not the ideal way to make compensation. So, that's okay. In other words, you did it b'shogig, so therefore no knas. But if you did it b'mezin, so along comes the chachamim and said, Your repayment is not considered repayment. Because what you should have done is you should have been paying back with chulin taharin, not chulin tamein. And the chachamim say both. In the case of shogeg and mezid, the repayment is viewed as repayment. But what you have to do now is that you have to go back and pay again. Meaning as a kenas, as a penalty, because you didn't pay back optimally, you didn't pay back ideally. So as a kenas, you have to go back and you have to pay again, obviously with chulin taharin. Okay, now, all this gets a little bit complicated. We just need to know, when you eat truma tameah, how exactly does compensation work? So I'm going to read a Rashi, right? Generally speaking, I summarize the Rashis, but over here I'm going to read a Rashi. Rashi over here, critical just to understand how one compensates in the case of eating truma. And in this particular case, truma tameah. Rashi writes as follows, Rashi could find me, Mishalm Chulim Taharim, Elokam and Parach Amai Mishalm Taharim. Ha'ochel Truma, Shogeg and Mishalm Maus El Tvua. So Rashi reminds us over here that when you eat Truma, so you do not pay back with money, but rather the way you must reimburse a Kohen is with grain. So you ate Truma, which obviously is grain, Doesn't have to be grain, by the way. It could be grapes. It could be olives, right? And midrabanan, it could be assortment of other fruits. But when you eat truma, you must pay back using food. So ve'enu mashalim truma elachulin misukanim. And oh, by the way, says Rashi. In other words, then what are you giving to the kohen? So you're not reimbursing with truma, but rather what you're reimbursing is chul misukanim, which means that it's not truma, but this non-truma has already been, you've already done hafrasha on it. It's called misukanim. Okay, you know, you already took off the truma, you already took off the maaser. It's not tefil. So in other words, this is your post-tax grains. Va'yidei tashlumei meinasim truma. And now, when you pay back, so what's going to happen now is the chulin's going to upgrade to truma. Okay, I know there's a lot going on over here. I'm recognizing there's just a lot to process. But this is the method of payment when you go ahead and you eat truma. Shenemar v'nasan l'kohen esa kodesh. And why in this manner? So it's based on a pasuk. Rashi quotes the pasuk in Parshas Amor. The Torah says v'nasan l'kohen esa kodesh al yedei nisinaso nasu kodesh. It becomes kodesh when you give it to him. Amadavar aray l'chol alav shem truma b'inam v'lo maus. Therefore, it has to be food and it can't be money. Money cannot upgrade to becoming truma. Now, with money, of course, you could buy the produce, which can become truma, but that's not what the Torah wants. What the Torah wants is a food that can immediately assume the truma status. Now, if you eat truma b'mezit, so then you pay money. Then you pay with money, and then you don't pay with upgradable food. Okay, so Rashi just reminds us: this is a basic halacha. Of course, right, I'm speaking for myself, right? We don't know the halacha because we don't get involved in truma. We don't have truma nowadays. But if I eat truma b'shogeg, I have to pay back in food. If I eat truma b'mezid, then I can pay back with money. Good. That's the basic halacha. And what we just learned together is that if I ate truma tamea, so you understand now over here, it's really complicated. It's not even that I just ate truma, right? Me being the non-kohen. I ate truma tamea. So if I eat a bishogeg, so now compensation is required. And now the question is, what is going to satisfy my compensation requirement? Would it be okay if I just gave back chulin to mea? Or do I have to give back chulin to horin? So ideally, you should be paying back chulin to horin. And then we just learned together, amachlokis tanaim, what if I pay back with chulin to mea? Okay. I hope all that was clear, right? I'm trying to speak it out. I could see it clearly, but I admit if this is your first venture into the sugya of eating truma, I admit there's a lot.
Why couldn't this be compared to Zibora and Benoit and different relation and you're doing injury to somebody, so we actually correspond with that.
Right. But so again, eating truma has got its own set of rules.
No, I understand that, but it could be comparable in that sense.
Okay. Oh, I see. In terms of mezid, shogeg. Okay. Could be. Anyway, so let's start again. Tashma. Okay. So let's present this just one more time. We're going to do this quickly. So achal truma tamea. So you ate truma tamea. Now we already know because of Rashi that you did it b'shogeg. And mishalim chulin tarim. So again, ideally. So your compensation, it has to be food, and ideally it should be chulin tahrin. Now, v'shem chulin tamei ma'u, now what if you pay chulin tamein? So amr simchas, mishum rabbi meir, tashlum ha-tashlum, and b'mezid, ain't tashlum ha-tashlum. So the Gemara quotes the name Rabbi Meir, a distinction. Did you do that shogeg, or did you do it mezid? Mezid, kenas. Shogeg, no kenas. And then, v'chacham amar, mechazeh, vechazeh, tashlum ha-tashlum, v'chozer mishalim chulin tahrin. And according to the chachamim, doesn't matter whether it was shogeg or mezin, a kanas. Now, the Gemara goes on to explain, vehavinan baal. And on that now, the Gemara says, I have a question, but mezin am I? So, ein tashlumim tashlumim. I don't understand. If you did it b'mezin, so we say your payment is not a payment. So, tova la bracha, da achlami neimidi, da lo chazile b'metu maso, v'kamashalam leimidi, da chazile b'metu maso. I don't understand. What did you eat? You ate truma tamea. As far as the Kohen is concerned, was he ever going to be able to eat the truma tamea? The answer is unequivocally no. What did you pay back? Chulin tamein. Can the Kohen eat chulin tamein? Now the answer is going to be, yeah, sure. Chulin Tamein can be eaten by anybody. Now again, a group of people, we just learned yesterday's daf, who are not, the Prushim, who are not going to be eating Chulin Tamein. But the truth of the matter is that Chulin Tamein is an edible item. So I don't understand. You ate from a Tamein, you paid back with Chulin Tamein, so Tavo Alav Bracha. Don't penalize the individual, right? Thank him. Okay, so the, let's just leave it like that. I encourage you to take a look at Rashi, because I presented it. It's not as simple as I just presented it, but again, for our purposes right now, let's just leave it like that. Thank him. Don't penalize him. So Amar Rav Avarmele Kedi, Chasur Mechsevach Kitani. So over here, as the price is presented to us, incomplete. And what we need over here is a complete version of the Braisa. Either it's a complete version or complete understanding, either way. If you eat Shuma Tamea, so you can pay back with anything. Meaning, in Echinami, when you eat Shuma Tamea, any kind of compensation that you make, whatever chulin you give him, is so good for you. Meaning you did what you were supposed to do.
It's got a higher value. Resale.
Okay, but right. In other words, you're right. You gave him chulin tamayim, which is going to be far and away better than his truma tamay that you ate. However, achol truma tahora misham chulin tahorin. There we go. But if I eat now truma tahora, so now that was something that obviously the kohen was able to eat, and you ate it, you the non kohen, so you have to make compensation. And what do you have to pay with? Chulin tahorin. Obviously, that's fair compensation. And now, shilim chulin tamei. What if you pay with chulin tamei after having eaten truma tahora? So simchas amrei mishum Rabbi Meir b'shogeg tashlum tashlumim v'mezin tashlum tashlumim v'chachamim amrei mechaze tashlum tashlumim u'misham chulin tahorim v'amar avach b'reid ravika hacha b'kansu shogeg atu mezidika v'nayu. Okay, so now beautiful. So the case under discussion after now we cleaned up the brisa, we chesure mechzura the brisa, and that is that their entire debate is where what did you the non kohen do? You ate truma tahora, and what did you do? Really poor compensation. You gave them back chulin tamein, and so according to Rav Meir, if you did b'shogeg, no knas. If you did b'mezik, knas. According to the chachamim, we're always going to kanson you. And now the entire debate over here revolves around whether or not knas extends from mezid even into the case of shogeg. Now, hachi hashto, the Gemara says, okay, great. Hasam gavra lushlumi kamechavin ananekim velitnesei. So the Gemara says, but I'm not bothered by that. Why am I not bothered by that? Because over there, gavra lushlumi kamechavin, meaning we have to think about who we're ready to penalize and who we're not ready to penalize. In such a situation over there, you had a guy eating truma. He shouldn't have. And now he's making compensation. And okay, his compensation is not the best. But right now, you're ready to penalize somebody who's ready to compensate that which he did? Okay, so the Gemara says that's a mitigating circumstance. That's just, we're not going to penalize in such a scenario. Tashma. And the Gemara is going to do this a couple more times. Dam shenitma. So you have blood of a carbon that becomes tamei. And vizarko. And now the Kohen goes ahead and sprinkles that blood. He shouldn't have, but he did. And so now b'shogeg hurtza b'meza lo hurtza. So now if done b'shogeg, so now the zrikas adam is okay. B'di'evit. And how does that work? So the tzitz. If you understand that, or you don't have to understand it. If you know what I'm talking about, great. And if not, come back again. And a later daf, on a future occasion, we're going to talk about how the tzitz is able to push through Tumah on the base of Mikdash. All we need to know right now is that it works. And there was a b'shogeg hurtza b'meza lo hurtza. So hamalacha Rabbi Meir hachi ashta. So Rabbi Meir will tell you that in such a situation, again, what's the issue? Hasam gavra l'chapur kamechavin anam nekum v'niknesei. Again, you have to look at the context of that scenario. You have now a person who is interested in receiving a kapara. And now the dam becomes tameh. And it was sprinkled on the mizbeach. And now what do you want to tell me? We're going to extend the knas from the case of mezid to the case of shogeg. The person wants a kapara. That is not an appropriate time to levy a knas on an individual. Tashma. Hamasa b'shabes b'shogeg yocha b'mezid lo yocha. taking off Meiser on Shabbos, a rabbinic violation. One is not allowed to take Shrimas and Meisers on Shabbos. We learned it back in the Gemara in Beitza. That was a long time ago. It doesn't matter. That's an Isser Derabbanan to do so. And Bishogeg Yochel, Bemezer Lo Yochel. So if you did a Bishogeg, having not realized either it was Shabbos or it was Asr, so then you can go ahead and you can eat the tithed produce. But if you did it Bemezer Lo Yochel, so Hachi Asher Hasim Gavril is Tkuna Kamechavim. Gavril is Tkuna Kamechavim. Anan Lekim Malikness. Say again, the Gemara says, do you know why the Knas over there doesn't extend? It's really simple. Because a person wants to do a good thing. Granted, by the way, that he misfired in terms of doing it on Shabbos. But what he wanted to do is he wanted to take produce and remove it from its tevel state. Taking off truma, taking off meiser. So, in other words, that's not an appropriate time to penalize when the person's interested in, quote unquote, doing the right thing. Right thing, wrong time. But still. So, Tashma. Hamatbil kelim b'shabiz b'shogi shamash bam b'mezli shamash bam. Again, toveling kelim on Shabbos so that you're able to use them. So again, here shogeg you can use them. Mezid you can't use them. And you already know what the Gemara is going to say. Hachi hashta hasam gavra l'tahara manika mechavin anan lekem v'liknese. So this everyone saw coming. Again, the person's interested in doing the right thing. Toveling your kelim is the right thing to do. Again, right thing, wrong time. So you elected to do it on Shabbos. So if you did it b'mezid, chachamim levity kenas. You can't go ahead and benefit from that on Shabbos. But b'shogeg, but if you do it b'shogeg, it's not, the chachamim felt that this is not the right time to extend the kenas to the case of shogeg. You're trying to tovel your kelim. Okay. That was all in the sheet of Rabbi Meir. We were, quote unquote, cleaning up the sheet of Rabbi Meir. When does he extend kenas and when does he not extend kenas? Rami de Rabbi Yehuda, de Rabbi Yehuda, de Rabbanan de Tanya. And we're almost done. And that is, we're going to clean up Rabbi Yehuda. So over here, we're looking now at various sheets of Rabbi Yehuda in terms of penalties and when one violates it. And now we're going to be describing Isuri de Rabbanan according to Rabbi Yehuda. So naflu v'nispatzu echad shog v'echad mezid lo yalu div Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon amrim b'shogi yalu b'mezid lo yalu. Okay, what happens is as follows. Again, we go back to the Gemara in Beitza, somewhere daf vav, either hey or vav, somewhere around the beginning of the first parak of Beitza, and there we learned that if you have various fruits. Or various items that are sold by number, right? They are sold b'minyan. So they are chashuv, they're significant, therefore becoming impervious to bittul. Generally speaking, when I got things mixed up together, issur v'heter, so what do I need in order for there to be bittul? So I need just simply a majority of heter over that of issur, and we have bittul. Achrei rabim lahatos. All I need is a majority. I understand sometimes you hear the number 60, but that's only because of tam. That's only because the taste of one infused into the other. But in other words, but if I just have a simple tarovis, 2-1 is all I need. However, when it comes to truma, what do I need? 100-1. When it comes to arla, when it comes to klein, what do I need? 200-1. Okay, but if the item of iser is a davar shebeminyan, it's a davar chashuv, so now it never becomes bittul. Afilu be'elef lo bittul, never bittul. Okay, now, with that as a basic introduction. So over here, we're talking about one of the items, right? The naflu v'nitzpatsu egoze prach, says Rashi. Okay, some sort of nut. I can't help you after that. whatever kind of nut it is. It's a really big type of nut that are sold individually. And so therefore, it's chashuv, therefore not subject to bittul. However, once you crack the nut, once you crunch it, and break it up, so now it becomes eligible for bittul. That's funny, right? But it makes sense. In other words, in its whole state, it's sold individually, it's chashuv, impervious to bittul. Once ground up, now eligible for bittul. And so over here I have the egoze prach, and let's say it's arla, and it gets mixed up with 100 other nuts, 200 other nuts, 1,000 other nuts. So because it's a davar chashuv, it becomes ineligible for bittul. And then what does somebody do? Somebody goes ahead and puts in the food processor. Okay, and now, funny, right? Now it becomes eligible for bittul, as long as you have the proper ratio. Because we're talking about arla over here, proper ratio is 1 to 200. But in other words, you took something which was ineligible for bittul, and by grinding it, made it eligible for bittul. What then? So over here, a question of whether you did that b'shogeg or you did it b'mezid. Everyone agrees if you did it b'mezid, the chachamim are going to penalize you. You tried to create bittul? No. That we're not going to allow it. Now the only question is, are they going to extend the knas to even shogeg? And so over here, machlokas. So according to Rabbi Meir, both in shogeg and amazed, and Rabbi Yehuda, I'm sorry, Divrei Rabbi Meir vi Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, Amrim b'shogeg yalu b'mezid lo yalu. Now the Gemara over here articulates. Now over here, midoraisa chad b'trei batel. So you have bittul. In other words, all you need is a ratio of 1 to 2. And v'rabbanon hu degazer v'kakanis Rabbi Yehuda. And over here, the fact that it is a davar chashuv, therefore ineligible for bittul, that's a din derabanan, right? The blocking of bittul, right? I'm sure other times throughout Shas I call it bittul blockers. So the blocking of bittul is a rabbinic concept. And so meanwhile, according to Rav Yehuda, the kenas is not only in the case of mezid, but even in the case of shogeg as well. So ha'isam ha'inu time with Rav Yehuda, mishum da'asli la'arume. The Gemara says, yeah, but I'll tell you what. In such a scenario, so somebody can easily say, oh, I didn't know. In other words, and grind everything up, and under the umbrella of, oh, that was shogeg, I didn't know. And so since it's such an easy case of harama, where somebody can be underhanded about it, so therefore that's an exceptional case, and that's why the chachamim or goes are both in the case of mezid and in shogeg as well. Almost done. Rami de Rabbi Yosi, de Rabbi Yosi, did not netil sharla v'shoklai kemsh nesarve b'netil sacheros. Harizel lo yilakate. So I have arla, and I have alternative klai hakerem, where that gets mixed up with other saplings. I now don't know which one's which. So harizel lo yilakate. So what you cannot do now is you can't harvest. V'im likate yalu be'echad amasayim avash lo yiskaven lakate. Now, if someone by accident went ahead and collected and gathered, so then we're going to operate with the regular rules of bittul. Again, by Arlen Klai, the ratio is 200 to 1. Now, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Afa, Miskavin, Lake, Yalu, Bechem, Esayim. So, and Rabbi Yossi says, even if done intentionally, we'll allow for bittul. So that's funny, meaning Rabbi Yossi is not going to penalize even in the case of Mazin. And that goes against what we just learned together. So the Gemara says, but ha itmar lama rava chazaka in adam oser es kamo binetia achas vichias the rava nama rav yochanan chazaka in adam oser es kamo binetia achas. And the Gemara says, I'll tell you why Rabbi Yossi is going to be mekel, because this is so atypical. Who is going to take their orchard and plant a new tree in their orchard? The orchard is all post 3 year orchard, right? In other words, all the trees are more than 3 years old. And now what are you going to do? You're going to plant a brand new tree in your orchard? People are not going to do that. It is such atypical behavior. Or if you want to give it more of a halachic twang, it's a davar sheino shchiach. It's something which is uncommon. The chachamim only make a gzera in a case where it is, which is a davar shchiach. But it's a davar sheino shchiach, the chachamim are not going to make a gzera. That would be a defense of Rav Yossi. That's why Rav Yossi is basically going to say, I'm not going to penalize in such a situation. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of, I admit, a lengthy discussion in the Gemara regarding the extent of knas derabanan. The Chachamim are going to put penalties in, and just a question of how broad the penalty is going to go, where is the penalty going to get extended? Obviously, in a case where a person, b'mezid, goes ahead and damages somebody else, violates Isuri Halacha, violates Isurim, deraisa versus derabanan, certainly in mezid, a knas. Now the question is that kenas going to extend to a case of shogig as well? So that was the entirety of today's daf. But to summarize, it's not going to be easy. Because basically what we did is that we treated every tana separately. and we tried to create a system of understanding within every Tana. We attempted today to understand the Shita Reb Meir, the Shita Reb Yehuda, and at the tail end of the sugya, the Shita Reb Yossi as well. So I admit there are a lot of moving parts in today's daf. Let's just do a little bit more for today. The Mishnah Kohanim Shepiklo BeMikdash Mezidim Chayavim. So Kohanim are Mefagel. Okay. As we know, Pigel, when a Kohen does any one of the four avodas of Shechita and Kabbalah Sadam, Holacha, or Zrika, and at the time of doing one of the four avodas, he says, articulates, right? It's a machshava, but it's a machshava that has to be articulated. At least that's the sense you get from Rashi in the beginning of Zvachim, and he articulates and says, you know, when I'm going to be going ahead and eating from the karban, chutz lizmano. Beyond the prescribed time, every carbon has a time in which it has to be eaten, and the Kohen articulates and says, I'm going to eat it chutzes mano. He has disqualified the carbon. This is what's called pigel. Now, within pigel, so now he has disqualified the carbon. We are now going to be discussing the ramifications of restoration. What does the Kohen have to do now to the owner of the carbon, now that he ruined the carbon? So what we're learning together in our Mishnah is that if he does a bemezid, so now he has to make restoration. He has to make reparation. So the Gemara immediately discusses Tanu Rabbanan. Haya ose imo b'taharos. So you had a worker. An arm or low. And the worker says to you, Taharos shasisi imach nitmu'u. Haya isimo b'zvachim arm or low zvachim shasisi imo nispagu netman. So now, what if the worker says, you know, I was metame? You're probably not going to hire him again. He's probably going to get fired immediately. But we're not interested right now in the labor relationship. What we're interested in is ne'manus. Is he believed? So this brisa teaches us that he's ne'man. Much like a Kohen who tells you that, you know, hey, you know, I thank you very much for allowing me to do your karban. Oh, by the way, I was mefagel the karban. So is he believed? In other words, again, the chances of this relationship advancing and continuing, it's probably the relationship is going to end. And the Cohen's reputation is going to be justifiably assaulted. But again, over here, we're only interested in Nemanus. Is he believed? Yes. Aval amelo taro shasisi imachabi onploni nitmu zvachem shasisi imachabi onploni nisbaglu enu Neman. But if he goes back and he recounts, here's what happened some time ago, he's not going to be believed. So Mishnah, Reisha, Mishnah, Seif, I don't understand. What's the difference? So Amar, Abai, Kol Shei Biyado Ne'eman. So Abai gives a classic answer. And that's Biyado. If it's still within your control, so you're given Ne'emanus. This idea of Biyado. And that as long as something is still within your power, where you can go ahead and do that which you claimed you did, so then you are given ne'emanus. And Rava, Amar Rava says, no, I can give a different answer, and it could go into Ashkechei, v'lo Amrle, v'lo Midi. Ulevasar Ashkechei v'Amrle. Rava would tell you like this. The difference between Reisha and Seifa is as follows. In the Reisha, this is the first time he's reporting it to you. So he's going to be believed. In the Seifa, it's not the first time you saw him post facto. You saw him already after he did your carbon, the Kohen. You saw him after the worker worked with your Taurus. They haven't said anything to you. And then subsequently after that, they go back and say, hey, did I forget to tell you? Maybe I forgot to tell you. I was mefagel your carbon. I was metame your Taurus. So there, Rava will tell you that under the circumstances, clearly what is he trying to do? He's trying to make you upset. But in other words, but he doesn't have to be believed. Okay. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we're going to pick it up with a couple of stories that punctuate. But, okay, we'll pause over here. Okay, over the course of today's daf, what did we do? Number one, we went over the basics regarding the gzeira de rabbanon, when the chachamim in a kenas, and when the chachamim don't make a kenas. When a person goes ahead and willfully, or even forgettably, violates isuri daraisa or de rabbanon. And we did that within the sheet of Rameh, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi. That's a lot. And then, the next thing we did is we started the next Mishnah, On Gimel Amud Beis, sorry, today's stuff. On Nadal Amud Beis, we started with the Mishnah of a Kohen being Mefagel, where again, if he did a Bemezin, he's got to make reparation. If he did a bishogeg, he doesn't have to make reparation. And then a discussion of, when he reports, do you believe him? And the Braisa says yes, but not under every circumstance. And how to understand the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer of the Braisa, Abaye versus Rava.